Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is tremendously exciting. In fact, if you were watching the show yesterday, and obviously when I say watching the show yesterday, listening to the show, but then we post clips, video clips on YouTube. We have a Hockman and Crowder YouTube channel. And if you saw yesterday's show, we did a segment with Omar Kelly, went to a 7-Eleven to get a pina colada Slurpee and a $20 scratch off, which I paid for, and I still haven't heard from Omar whether we won anything or not, but he gladly took my money. I'm assuming we didn't win, but if we never hear from Omar again, and hear of him, he's in San Guantanamo, we may have to question what happened on that lottery ticket. But yesterday was Pina Colada Day. Today is July 11th, 7-Eleven. And 7-Eleven does free Slurpees on 7-Eleven Day. And Joe Zagacki, the voice of the Miami Hurricanes, is joining us. I know his lovely wife is in the car with him as well. We're watching the video. Where are you? You're at a 7-Eleven somewhere?
Yes, Hawk, Cheryl and I. It's a road trip, you know. There's not a 7-Eleven in our neighborhood. So now we're in Pembroke Pines. Should I say where we are? We're Taft and Flamingo. And it's very popular. A lot of people are, I've been sitting here doing the play-by-play of people going in and out of the door. Some are going in for seconds and thirds.
So now you're there at that particular 7-Eleven. Should we do a promotion where if anyone walks up to you, you will buy them a donut or something, as long as you're giving away your exact location? Do you want to flex a little bit?
Well, here's the deal with that. I'm more than happy to buy them a donut, or buy him a taquito,
sure,
a polar grill, a five-piece bone-in wings, or some Newports. Newport. The corporate card is in my wallet.
What a great radio promotion. If you go see Joe Zagacki at a 7-Eleven, he'll buy you a pack of Newports.
Audio signs off on it, I'll buy someone here some Marlboro.
Funny. So I'm assuming you were just reading all the posters on the 7-Eleven windows there as you rattled off the entire menu.
Well, third down and seven for the Kings and 35. Save when you buy two Marlboro.
Right. Hey, do you remember, how does your brain work? Do you remember the national championship game last year? We're so bad at, like, I can retain 80s music. That's my wheelhouse, movie lines. But, like, sports matchups, Super Bowls, NBA championships, even national championship games, which I watched, I was into, I wagered on. In the last segment, I couldn't even remember who played in last year's national championship? You could like could you rattle off 20 years in a row?
Probably not, but last year's national championship game, the problem that I have with it is I was with the University of Miami basketball team, and we had a flight to San Francisco, which was delayed, so I missed the game as I was in the air. I still have not watched it, but I am going to watch it before Miami plays Notre Dame. You know, what do we got, like 6 weeks until that game?
Yeah.
So I've yet to watch it, but I will watch it, but I didn't have a chance because we were flying to California.
Are we ready to go, by the way? Is Carson back the starting quarterback? Is he healthy? And, like, are we, like, is everything in place? Do we know anything about this team? Like, are they going to be legit good, or we have no idea till they take the field week one?
I think they're going to be good because they've recruited at a high level. A lot of those homegrown players or, you know, high school players that they recruited are now juniors. Guys like Mark Fletcher and Ruben Bain. Everybody talks about the transfer portal, but you need guys like Fletcher and Bain to have great seasons. And those are guys that are homegrown, local, high school players that have been developed in the system. And then they've been surrounded by these transfer portal players, namely Carson Beck. I think he's going to be very good. From what I understand, he's been throwing. And I know there's this, for some reason, he's coming under a lot of criticism. And I don't get, as I mentioned before, his last six games last year, I think his number was 11 touchdowns and no interceptions. And I know he's got this injured wing or had one, but it's not like he's forgotten how to play football. He played at a high level for Georgia. And I think, you know, this would be setting the bar very high, I guess, but the defense has got to be a lot better than it was a year ago.
Hey, Joe, it's funny you say that because I was going to ask about the defense because Cam Ward got us out of a lot of trouble in the late game. We were winning games 45-42. I don't think you can't set up your team with doing that. Is the defense – Corey Heatherman, what was he in, Minnesota? Is it – it's not the same competition as the ACC. Can his aggressive defense, what I've heard you talk about, can that translate, and does he have the guns to run it?
Well, it better translate. That's why he was brought here. Minnesota's in the Big Ten, so you know they play a quality competition. The Big Ten won the last two national championships, so there you go, Hawk. There's two in a row for you. Ohio State, they were a top 25. They were top 25 total defense. I think they were top 10 red zone defense. Coincidentally, in the spring game, the offense had a first and goal at the 1 yard line and didn't punch it in. They got held in the spring game. So maybe you can't read much into that, but I know that was a point of emphasis. And they took the ball away a lot a year ago. And I do think there is something to coordinators that generate turnovers. And he's a guy that in his career, his defenses have been able to take the ball away. So I suspect Miami will be better with that part of their defense. At least I hope so. And, yeah, the defense last year, you know, ultimately, if you look back at last season and scratch your head, you say, well, they didn't get to the playoff because their defense wasn't good enough. And that's it.
Real quick before we send you in to get the Slurpees, just speaking of recruiting, you mentioned the word recruiting. What about the basketball team? How has Jay Lucas done? Because I read something the other day that they've got a pretty decent recruiting class so far.
Yeah, I think he did very well. It's going to be unusual because it's an entirely new team. I have never seen anything like it. They're going to have 12 or 13 completely new players, a completely new coaching staff. So the question will be, you know, how fast do you bring them together? Can they achieve an identity early in the season? What will that identity be? And if it's based on what he did at Duke, what his responsibility was at Duke, he was you know, in charge of defense. So you would think that he wants to build a team that can defend and rebound. If you look at the roster, the players on this roster, their qualifications are, you know, guys that were very good defenders, good rebounders, and every position is size. They're going to be big, especially on the wing. Now, can they score a lot? I don't think they brought in elite scorers, but I think for him, he wants to start with defensive.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Rebound.
Omar Kelly, read his work in the Miami Herald. This was delightful. We're going to run out of time here, so I'm going to ask you, I haven't read the column yet, but Solana says that you, and this is my opinion, that the Dolphins are much closer than people think. Was that what you wrote in the column today?
They're not close, but people who think that this is going to be a horrible season, like Tua's won 10.7 games. He averages 10.7 games when he's healthy. All they got to do is keep Tua healthy. They should have a pretty productive season. Top 10 defense the last 2 years. Get a run game. Keep Tua healthy. Have Tyreek and Waddle healthy. And you should be able to win double-digit games.
And, oh, the one thing I think the talk is that they're trying to change their identity. Be a little tougher. Be more stout. You know, run the ball. Be able to whoop somebody's ass on third and one. Can the same coach do that? Can Mike McDaniel? Because they sold us track meet. And now they're saying, no, we're about to toughen up now. You don't recruit track stars to get tough.
I think it's more of winning the line of scrimmage. And you know how important that is, Crowder. I mean, you know how important a defensive tackle and nose tackle are to keeping a linebacker clean. You know, the run game, be able to consistently run. I mean, they ran for 5 yards a carry in 2023. It's not like a stretch of the imagination that they can be a consistent, effective running team. And I think that that's what they need to open up the big play, because nobody had to respect the big play. I mean, safeties could back up 2-3 yards further than they usually line up because nobody was worried about the run with the team.
Yeah. Mike McDaniel on the hot seat, like the hottest of hot seats?
I think Brian Daboll's probably hotter, but Mike's pretty hot. I mean, they know they got to win. I mean, I don't think there's anybody in the league that doesn't know that they have to win. You know, this season – it doesn't remind me of – I remember when Joe Philbin was entering the 2015 season, you just knew players were checked out. They didn't care about Joe. They didn't care about that coaching staff. This is different. They care. They want these coaches to remain here. They want to play for Mike. And those who didn't want to play for Mike, they got shown the door.
I think the biggest stretch of your article, Omar, because I did agree with a lot of what you said, was that Anthony Weaver entering his second season, he'll have I think you wrote great mastery of his personnel. I'm with you on you know, the front guys, the fat guys, but the secondary outside of Minkah, like, at the end of the day, there's just a lack of talent there. So, like, is it fair to say like, that's just not a good position group? You can't expect a lot out of it.
I think their thought is that they can get pressure, and with blitzing, it will sort of mask what the secondary can do. Now, obviously, they needed a leader, and I think that that's what Minkah's presence does. We have no idea what you're going to get from the rest of the safeties. And cornerback, I can tell you it's anybody's guess. But in their words, it's not that hard to find a cornerback. Back when Mike was with the 49ers, they got cornerbacks in the late round. Kansas City gets cornerbacks in the late rounds. They believe one or two of these guys are going to emerge and do something special. I don't know. We'll see. But I will also point out, it's not hard for you to go address the cornerback in week two when contracts are not guaranteed. So, and I think that that's really what they're probably going to be waiting on. But, you know, that's an Eli Apple-esque type of player. And those are out there.
Omar Kelly, read his work in the Miami Herald. Follow him on Twitter as well. We appreciate your time. This was a great celebration of National Pina Colada Day. I am delighted that you got the Pina Colada Slurpee. I would ask you to do the scratch off with your daughter. I find that to be a great father-son bonding thing. My son's now 21, so he can go get them on his own. But I used to love to do that with David. I would have him read the instructions. That way there was a lesson involved with the scratch off. So
you teach him how to gamble. Okay.
Teach
all
them
right.
How to gamble properly by reading the instructions. So
all right.
Happy National Pina Colada Day. Hopefully we win a lot of money on the scratch off, and we appreciate your time.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
There you go. Omar Kelly from the Miami Herald. That was delightful.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Dolphins training camp is around the corner. Kane's not too far away. And we'll keep an eye on everything. Heat and Panthers and Marlins and Inter Miami. And if you want to keep up with everything Hockman, Crowder, and Solana show style, make sure you listen to the podcast on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn apps. Aronde Gadsden is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. played receiver for many seasons with the Dolphins, and his son, OG the second, will begin his first season with the LA Chargers this year. We were talking Aronde because we all want to get Aronde the second jerseys. Do you have a hookup? You got some kind of plug for OG Chargers jerseys, or we need to go retail on this?
No, I got a plug. It's called NFLShop.com.
Let me get his number. He has a real funny name. Let me get his number.
All right, I text it to you offline. I had to go through it myself.
I imagine they don't just give those things away willy-nilly. That's a pretty good
The key is because his mom gets really upset about this, and she already talked to Jim Harbaugh about this. So this is Looney Tunes. So on the jerseys, and even on his practice jersey, they only got Gadsden, and so she wants the two. But Jim Harbaugh doesn't believe in the juniors or the seniors or the twos or the threes. Only if you were grandfathered in before he got there, will you keep it, but you won't get it done. So when you go to NFLShop.com, you're going to have to add the capital I on it.
So Aronde the second, though, his jersey this season is just going to say Gadsden. It's not going to say Gadsden, capital I.
It hasn't so far. Like his practice jersey and all that, everything else has not. The one even on the website has not. The Chargers website, not the NFL. But I don't know. It's the senior player development guy for the Chargers graduated from Dillard, and he's Anthony Hightower the second, and he's not able to put it on his cards because I talked to him knowing he was from Dillard.
He's been out there. Business cards, he's not allowed to.
Yeah, no.
Why did we give this kind of power to Jim Harbaugh?
Jim Harbaugh brought 16 people from Michigan, and in the front office, they the coaches, they everywhere, and they running it like Michigan. So I don't know. I'm just letting you know.
I don't want to get OG in trouble here, so I don't want, you know, but that seems, I mean, what if Jim Harbaugh didn't believe in vowels? I mean, you know, where do we draw the line?
It's
a little crazy.
Plus, it's a name. Like, that's his name. It's not something whether you believe in it or not. Like, hey, I named my son Aronde Gadsden Jr. Like the second.
Yeah,
but that's his name.
Well, like, no, that's not his name. That's not his name. You don't know how junior or the second works, Solana.
I guess not. Don't turn this on me. This is on Harbaugh.
That's not his legal name. You're the second because of your lineage, or you're junior because you're the one after.
Huck, I'm doing this with my dad because we're Randolph Crowder and Randolph Crowder, and I was the beneficiary on all his retirement stuff, and it's the second on my birth certificate, and it's the second in the NFL websites and all the stuff. I'm the second.
Your legal name is the second?
My legal name is the second.
Legal.
Interesting. Well, if it's a legal name, then I don't think there's an issue.
Let's jump Jim Harbaugh.
Well, let's not get in trouble.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's wait till season five and we can jump him. Let's wait till season five.
Demand a trade. He should demand a trade. OG.
All right. Settle down, everybody. I got to move on to the Dolphins. Aronde's already realizing this is a bad decision. Well, put us down for four jerseys. Let me ask you something about Jimmy.
What size is Jimmy? Jimmy's like a youth large.
Aronde, Louis Riddick. I've asked this of several people. He said about the Dolphins, this is a team that you have no idea if they're going to be great or terrible or somewhere in between because there's so many changes. And if you look at what they did in 2023, it looks nothing like what they did in 2024. And so you just can't figure out what the team is. Do you have an idea of what this upcoming Dolphin season is going to look like in your opinion, or are you in the dark like everyone else?
I got the answer. Somewhere in between. I mean, that's just what it is. You know what I mean? We've seen it. I can give you, I don't know if I should, but I can give you a little insight just from, you know, going through the draft process with them. They're trying to, you know, go away from all the passing that we've been doing, you know, and they want to become a little bit more run-centric. And because of that, I think it's going to take time. I mean, you know, Coach Mike came in as a run game guru, I think, but he then became the pass game guru, you know what I mean? And, so now is he going to go back to what he did? But, you know, it's different when you have the San Francisco players, you know. Maybe Channing could even call some run plays if he had that team. So it's going to be a little different going forward, but I still think we don't have an identity of what we are, and because of now the changes from, it's just tough to know that you just got rid of a dude that just had 75 catches. That's like a big deal for me, you know, in my arena. Like, man, that's a lot of catches to get rid of. Like, you can't replace that. Do I think I like Darren Waller? I think Darren Waller is a great player, you know. Kind of put me in, you know, the frame of my son, really, like, you know, wide receiver dude, transfer to the tight end dude, blah, blah, blah. But he's been out a year. His rap song's all right. You know, I give a few of them a little better rating than the others, but he hadn't caught 75 catches last year, that's for sure. And so to replace that's going to be tough. And especially Ramsey on the defensive end, that's going to be tough. So Minka may cover some of that up, but, you know, he has his job to do too. So I think somewhere in between is at best, because, you know, just like everything else, the teams in our conference and our division have gotten better, and, you know, everything doesn't stay status quo.
And, OG, can a zebra change its stripes? Because, like, Nick Saban is going to run the ball, play tough defense. Then right. when Parcells and Tony Sperano came in, same setup. But that year with Cam Cameron, we got graceful. And it's just their right. personalities. But now you got Mike McDaniel now trying to get tough and physical. And we know it's right. a graceful track meet. They sold us track meet all day long.
All right. You know, the key is in this kind of, you know, like when I came in, because Jimmy came from Dallas. We all were at Dallas. And we knew what that was about. They running the ball with Emmitt. And, you know, every, you know, fourth Emmitt run, they'll play action and throw the mic. And you won't have to stop that. And Jay Novacek will get a ball or two. Kevin Williams may hit you deep, prime. Alvin Harper, but they're going to play good defense. But we knew the basis, the foundation was running Emmitt. And obviously Jimmy came with the same foundation, but we didn't have Emmitt. You know, we had a decent old line. It wasn't their old line either. Let's not fool ourselves. The old line wasn't the same old line, but that was his thing. And I don't think he could get away from that, even having Dan Marino. I think that was just him. As great as a quarterback is, we're going to find a way to run the ball. Now, you know, John Avery and J.J. Johnson was a far cry from Emmitt. But that was his deal. But some people nowadays will try because they're younger guys. You know, like Mike McDaniel's gonna try to do something. Like I said, when he came over, he was the run game guru at the 49ers. But he had a different type running back. He had a different O-line. He had some other pieces that we don't have as of yet. And so he's going to try not to do the track meet thing, but, you know, at the end of the day, I think with Tua is going to jump back to the track meet thing, and if we don't have this horses, it's not going to work. But
have the horses, though, I think. But I don't know, you know, again, offensive line's a question.
You know,
think Mike McDaniel is on a significant hot seat? Is this a make-or-break season for Mike McDaniel?
I think so. It's going to be tough because we have Tua, and he signed Tua, and Tua got, you know, has the money now. And, you know, that's the only thing, because we all know the coach and the quarterback is connected. It's going to be tough to get rid of Tua and get rid of McDaniel at the same time. But I think, you know, it has to happen, because I don't think, you know, like when I was talking about Jimmy, the problem was we were trying, when Jimmy came in, Dan had a passing O-line. They were pass block guys. Now you got to change that whole line and try to get run block guys. And that's the whole different situation. You know what I mean? You have to find those guys that run block. And now that takes, you know, it's just like a college. Like, it's going to take, you know, getting rid of seniors and bringing in freshmen. And it's going to take, a you know, 2-3 years to get the guys to run the ball the way you want it to be run. And you have to get those guys. And we tried, you know, we had some good linemen, but, you know, you had to keep Webb because he was the left tackle. That wasn't going to change, you know, and you had to keep Ruddy. He was the center. That wasn't going to change. So everybody else was, you know, interchangeable, but you got to get those guys to fit your system. And importantly, most importantly, the O-line. So that's going to be the tough job. We've always had this thing, and I think I have as well. One, he doesn't have a plan B, and so it seems like this is going to be the plan B. And two, we don't ever keep the people we supposed to keep that we drafted. And now that guy for us, the poster child for that guy is Eichenberg. Like, you know?
Oh, we got Minka back. We drafted Minka, and we got him back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess so.
We loaned him to the Steelers to go get a couple Pro Bowls. Go get you some Pro Bowls in and come on back.
Come on back. When your tank is 0.25% full, come on back.
Keys under the mat.
Keys under the mat. In the same parking spot that I left it at the airport 2 weeks ago.
One thing we talked about with the Dolphins, OG, I don't know if I did a great job explaining it. Like,
probably did, but anyway, go ahead. Right?
those guys that ain't running from no fights. You know, you don't, like I said, you ain't got to be a felon, but you just got to have some little nasty to you. You had to been, you know, you probably got detained by the cops every now and again. Just, are we getting those type guys? Because you don't need 53, but I think you need about 7 or 8 dudes that they're not going to ask why you fighting. They're just going to start throwing stuff.
Are we back at the gorilla, or are we just talking about football? Back at the gorilla.
How many Dolphins would it take to beat a gorilla in a fight?
You don't have to be Joey Porter and them. Like Porter, right. Keith Traylor, you know, like some of those guys I played with, you just knew they were crazy. But like Zach Thomas is not going to turn down a fight. You know, Vernon Carey's coming in, and he's a pleasant dude, but he's still got something in the back of his mind that's a little different than a normal human walking around.
You want me to tell you who's not going to turn down a fight? John Bach. When I had John Bach on O-line, oh, man, John Bach fighting all the way till next Thursday. Like, he's still on site. Like, he may get beat up today, but when we come in tomorrow, hockey game, gloves off, we fighting. He'll get beat up. He'll come back Saturday. Whoa, when he walked through the door, he see you, gloves off, we fighting.
He just loved it. He loved fighting.
I didn't say one time he fought in Louisville for about an hour and a half, and that's confirmed by Sam Madison. Like, they just had to just, like, stop him. Like, yo, he would not stop. Like, he that dude, like, ice hockey, like, let's go. And you know, he had a fight one time in practice. Jimmy was like, let him fight, because when they get tired, they're going to run. And John ain't stop. John Bach ain't stop. Like, he, like, everybody else, like, stop. All right, let me save some of my – nah, he ain't stopping. But yeah, you think about those dudes, and I think sometimes it's tough for us, Channing, to separate ourselves from, if we could say that, the older school football than the newer football, just like the basketball situation. You know, I'm from the get a good postman, post them up, and go down low. You know, I'm like the Thunder one, because they had 2 starting 7-footers. Everybody else, they had SGA and Williams. And I'm like, 2 things can be true. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, you want the war daddies, but you got to know who the war daddies are. And, you know, I don't know, because maybe some of our war daddies have not been in. Like, I think Phillips could be one. You know what I mean? Chubb might can be one. Pork Chop is one. You know, like we just got to find them and make sure those are the guys in the key spots that we want them to be in. And, you know, I think now it's just more technical. Everybody wants to be technical. You just don't have no, you know, somebody going to fight because they, you know, they took away, you know, like rookies and just holding them down and cutting all the hair off or tying them to the air conditioning, throwing all the water on them like all night like that. Like they can't do that anymore.
Rhonda Gadsden, we'll talk to you throughout the season. We're really excited for Aronde the second too, man. I can't wait for who they open again.
They on the 31st they play the Lions because they play in the Hall of Fame game.
Oh wow! So he plays at the end of this month.
They're ripping and ready to go. And then the first game is the 5th against the Chiefs.
Oh boy!
He got a hell of an NFL start, don't he?
Man, trust me, dog. Listen. We went through the list while he was home. The defensive ends, he got a block. Like, whoa! I mean, you already got a block, Max Crosby twice, right? You got to go against Chris Jones out the gate. Y'all play Pittsburgh. You got to block T.J. Watt. You got block Brian Burns, and he not your teammate no more at Heritage, so that's not going to work. They play Dallas, so you got block Micah.
Your son's going to have to stop Max Crosby.
Twice.
How's he gonna do that? That's crazy.
Dive in his called, damn chest. That's how he does it. Dive in his chest.
It's called 10 yards. Holding on 86.
All right, Aronde. We'll talk to you later.
All right, man. All right, bro.
There you go.
Thanks.
Aronde Gadsden.
Welcome back in here on a Football Friday on WQIM. Hollywood Omar Kelly, Dan Day along here with you. It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com, where we are joined by a friend of the show here, Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel. Perk, good morning. How are you, my friend?
Oh, man, Football Friday, baby. I'm trying to get myself in shape so I can report to camp in shape. We'll see how it ends up in a couple of weeks, but I'm trying.
Oh, it's tough out there, man. Perk. Hey, before we jump into the football stuff, I got to ask you, I don't know if you know this, but Omar is a Circuit City alum. I worked at Circuit City when I was in school. Do you have an odd job, Perk, that you worked, like a Circuit City type thing before you got into the whole sports deal?
I worked at Wendy's right out of high school. I got into journalism pretty quick, like right out of high school, but I did work at Wendy's, man. That was back in the day when they had the salad bar, they had baked potatoes, and they had like chicken a la king to put on the baked potato. Wendy's used to ball like that back in the day.
Hey, really, Perk, were you in the back or did they put you on the register?
I did both. You know, people want to talk to Perk. Now I was up front a little bit, but here's the deal. You know, when people would give me like $1.01 and expect a quarterback, I would be like, dang, why'd you give me $1.01? Why didn't you just give me $1? So the days on the register didn't last for long.
That's awesome.
Math skills are bad.
All right, we'll jump from there to football and Perk. You know, the one of the things we've really been talking about all week is, you know, Asante Samuel Sr. jumped in. Mike Florio has jumped in. There's been a lot of national dislike for what the Dolphins are doing in Miami Gardens right now. And they have been the punching bag of the national media. Omar said they're the low-hanging fruit and it's a slow time right now and all that. And what do you make of all this stuff, Perk? And it has been ugly from a national standpoint, the stuff that's been kind of raining down on the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think it's been excessive, but, you know, it's a downtime for the Dolphins. You can expect that. They're coming off the 8-9 season. You had the Tua injuries. You've had a bunch of people talking stuff about the Dolphins, a bunch of former players. You know, Deshaun Elliott saying that they were soft and things like that. The Jalen Ramsey thing does not help when both sides agree to mutually seek a trade. When that, you know something is off right there. This is a year after Vic Fangio leaves and wins a Super Bowl in Philadelphia, while the Dolphins, you know, they kind of flounder. Although the defense did very well, you know, Anthony Weaver did a very good job. But, you know, it's, they're a punching bag right now because they didn't do well. And it was, you know, it things have been less than ideal around here. Look, the Dolphins can change that narrative by winning, right? But they've got it's going to take a few months. They've got to take these punches until they can get out there and register some big victories and change the narrative.
Yeah, Perk, I wrote a column in today's Herald, basically stop all this doom and gloom. Like, this team, in my opinion, has a chance to produce a good season if they can keep Tua healthy, if that offensive line improves. And don't you start with me, Perk, on that offensive line.
All right.
Listen, and they can sustain a run game. What has to happen, in your opinion, for this team to get to 10 wins, double-digit wins?
Well, I've got them as a 9-win team right now. If Tua stays healthy, if they can get a run game going, and let's see what happens at the cornerback position. I think that's a big thing. Look, I think this front seven has the potential to be a game-changing type of unit, right, with Zach Sealer and Kenneth Grant and Chubb and Phillips and Chop. Jordan Brooks there as an inside linebacker. Terrell Dotson also there. But you look at those two cornerback positions. You got Cater in the slot. You got Minka at safety. But those two cornerback positions are vital. And I don't see a number one cornerback out there on the market. Rasul Douglas, Stephon Gilmore, all of these guys would have looked good as a number two opposite Jalen Ramsey. But as a number one, I don't see it. So I think the cornerback position is a vitally important thing if you're talking about getting to 10 wins. But I do see this as a 9-win team right now. The problem with that is I'm not sure 9 gets you in the playoffs. It did in 2022, but, you know, you could be looking at mediocrity again. That's the problem I see with 9 wins.
Then, well, what happens then, Perk? What happens if we are a 9-win team and you're not quite bad, but you're not quite really good? Do we run it back again? Because I got to tell you, I think this fan base is just ready to just move on here and try to do something different here, because this recipe hasn't seemed to work here. And if they get to 9, it's like, what do you do if you're Stephen Ross? Do you send out that letter again at the end of the season and, you know, say we're going to run it back?
And that's the thing. Nobody knows. Nobody knows what happens at 9 wins. You know, I think if you're down at like 6 wins, you probably make major changes. If you win 10, 11, especially if you win a playoff game, there's no major changes. If you win 10 and make the playoffs, I don't know what happens, but that 9 wins is kind of a gray area. We haven't heard from Steve Ross directly. You know, he put out that statement at the end of last season, but yeah, I think 9 wins just kind of puts you in that gray area. I have no idea what happens at 9 wins. I guess part of it is, how do you arrive at the 9 wins? Why did you have 9 wins? You know, if you get 9 wins with Tua missing, you know, 6-7 games, you know, maybe everything stays the same. But if Tua plays all 17 and you get to 9 wins, I think that's a different look at 9 wins. So it's a gray area, 9 wins.
But it's like, you know, Perk, like, but here's the thing, like, how many times can you keep doing the same thing over and over again? That's one part of it. And the other part is, the owner's 85 years old. Like, you think he's going to want to go through another 5-year rebuild? So something's got to give on one side, right? On one end or the other.
Yeah. And I think that, again, if they finish with 9 wins, how did you get there and why? I think that, you know, it's kind of just saying 9 wins doesn't really define what happened in the season. If you say 11 wins, you probably had a pretty good season. If you say 6 wins, you probably had a pretty bad season. Well, you did have a bad season. But 9, I think you got to kind of wait and see, you know, what actually unfolded.
You talked about the cornerbacks, and yes, that is probably the unclear position because everybody else, I think that there's the roster's relatively clear. But at cornerback, outside of Cater and Minka and probably Ashton Davis and Ife Melifonwu, who would you put your money on to be the two starting cornerbacks on the outside?
I like Storm Duck. I like what he showed us last year as a undrafted rookie out of Louisville. And he sticks his nose in there. He's cerebral. So he can give it to you from the thinking man's perspective and from the physical perspective. So I like Storm as somebody to emerge. He wouldn't be a number one corner, but he would be a starter. Boy, oh, as far as anybody else, I'm really not sure. I haven't seen enough from Cam Smith, from Kendall Sheffield, from, I don't know, you know, you can just go down the rest of that list. Ethan Bonner.
Isaiah Johnson.
Yeah, Isaiah Johnson.
Jason
I really
Marshall
like Isaiah
Jr.
Johnson. B.J. Adams, the rookie out of UCF, the undrafted rookie. I just don't see another starting cornerback on that roster. So, and look, we'll see what happens after the after training camp cuts and all of that too. Maybe somebody emerges, and you always look for guys who used to play for, you know, Anthony Weaver. You look for the, you know, that's kind of why Darren Waller is here, right? Because he played for Frank Smith. So you look for that kind of stuff. Somebody could emerge. And look, and I'm not dug in on 9 wins. I'm just saying 9 wins right now before training camp, the way things look. And
that's pretty good season, Bert.
What's that?
9 wins. That's a pretty good season to me, based on what I'm looking at. I mean, I understand it's not going to get you where.
Isn't it all?
No,
but Omar's all over the place, Perk, and you know that. I mean, he's, you know, one day he talks about how great Tua is, and he throws all these, you know, ridiculous numbers that mean nothing at you.
Tua 63% winning percentage.
Some Hollywood saying numbers that mean nothing.
I mean, they don't. Do they mean anything? All the Omar,
a quarterback
can rattle
that wins 63% of his game is pretty good.
Omar can rattle off numbers that makes Tua sound like Tom Brady for the next hour. But
only
the reality is, look, the reality.
Passer,
I don't care. The reality is that he hasn't won anything of any meaning.
It's okay, yeah. Neither is Lamar Jackson.
That I would disagree with, but you know.
Yeah, I know he's won a play. He's won a couple playoff games. Listen.
Let's not compare Tua to Lamar Jackson this morning. Can we just not do
okay.
That?
Let me about face that. Neither has Dak Prescott. You know,
there you go. That's a good comp to Tua. I can live with that.
Yeah. But I mean, look, it's, you know, here's what I always try to tell people. This is bigger than Tua, and I know that's hard
for
NFL fans to comprehend that something is bigger than the quarterback. But this is bigger than Tua. I mean, you've got injuries. To me, the big thing here, the biggest thing is the guys who got the extensions, and that's offensively. Mike McDaniel, Tua, Tyreek, and Waddle. Those are the ones to me that this thing is on them. This is an offensive team. They're the engine of the offense. And look, I can give you a bunch of numbers also. You know my numbers on Tyreek the last 2 years. Dolphins, I know Omar is laughing already. The last 2 years, the Dolphins are 11-0 when Tyreek has 100 or more yards, and they average 35 points per game. 7-16 when he has 99 or fewer, and they average 18 points per game. Tyreek opens everything up for everybody. But the problem is, in the last 2 years, neither Tyreek nor Waddle has a 100-yard game against a playoff team. You can't win games with your run game. You're 8-11 the last 2 years when you rush for over 100 yards. They've got to develop this offense. You've got to find a way to win aside from Tua to Tyreek.
Help me out with this thing with Tyreek real quick if you can. Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel here with us.
Him about Tyreek.
They got Tyreek. They have Perk. Help me with this, please. They have his over-under set at 975 and a half. Now, outside of breaking his leg in week one, how does he not get to 1,000 yards?
Tua injuries. That to me, that's pretty much the only way. And I've heard you say that, Hollywood.
Doesn't he still get it, though, even if Zach Wilson or whoever else is playing?
He didn't last year. He didn't last year.
I know, but that was a weird situation last year, though.
It was. He did in 2022. He got 17-10 with Tua injuries. I'm shocked by that number. If Tyreek has 975, I don't see a winning season. I just don't see how they can score.
No way.
I, I don't see it. I don't see 975. I'm shocked that that number is so low. They would have to really develop a game winning, game changing run game to survive if Tyreek only has 975.
Let me ask you this question, Perk, because I say this all the time, and that there's a video out of Tyreek just, you know, running tremendously fast routes. Yep. He's a 10.19 or 15 runner in the 100. Tyreek is probably the greatest athlete, greatest playmaker I've ever covered in my life. Who would you put number one in your career?
Oh boy, man, that's a long list from Dwayne Wade, LeBron, Shaq.
Yeah, I'm talking football.
Oh, playmate. Football. Boy, Tyreek might be. Defensively, you do have Jason Taylor, but often Tyreek is a baller. Like, he's a future Hall of Famer. I'm Team Tyreek on the field. Like, he's the guy who makes this offense go. I really am. I mean, and this is a guy who busts his butt in practice, in games. And you're right. I think we're going to get a good version of Tyreek this year. He ran, what, a 10.15 and a 10.1? I mean, I think this dude is ready to come out and show the world that, you know, I'm 31, but I can still ball. The 975, I don't understand. Yeah, Tyreek might be, I think he is number one just off the top of my head. As far as a playmaker, I haven't covered anybody better with the Dolphins. That dude is a unique, unique talent.
Absolutely. I appreciate you going Heat, by the way, Perk, because you've covered the team since, 2010 or something like that?
Well, I did. I started in Heat 2002. I did them 2002 to 2012.
Okay, so you've covered – there hasn't been anyone outside of Tyreek for the Dolphins, in fairness. So I do appreciate you going with Heat players for that answer.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Who else are you going to go with? Dudes.
Yeah, they won titles. They're Hall of Famers when you talk about – D. Wade and LeBron and Shaq. I mean, those dudes are ballers. So yeah, those are the guys who could really make plays, put things on their shoulders. It's different for Tyreek because he's a wide receiver, but I have a lot of faith in Tyreek. He's not perfect on the field. I know that he had the drops in 2023. He had the ball taken from him by Derek Stingley Jr. against Houston late in that game last year, but I put my money on Tyreek. I got a lot of faith in that dude, man.
Hey, Perk, how proud are you that Tyreek has stayed out of trouble this offseason so far? We got 2 weeks to go, though.
Yeah, we got time.
I know, right? Exactly. Hey, it's a great thing for the Dolphins. It's a great – and it's a really great thing for Tyreek. I mean, look, it seems like he's focused on football, and that's going to be a great thing for this team because – they need to have a great bounce back season. And to me, you know, Tua's health is the number one thing, but 1A is Tyreek being out there and being able to ball and open things up for everybody else. This offense revolves around Tyreek. And if he's playing at his best, this is going to be a tough offense to match up against. I will say this, though, again, you have to get a running game or some other way to win games offensively because, you know, Tyreek not having a 100-yard game against a playoff team in the last 2 years, that's one of the main reasons they're 2-10 against playoff teams in the last 2 years.
Hey, let me ask you this question, Perk. Do you think that this could potentially be a team that actually fights for Mike McDaniel and his coaching staff? Or do you think that, I go back to the Joe Philbin year of 2015, where we went into that season and that team just couldn't care less about Joe. And they played like they couldn't care less about Joe. And he eventually was fired in 5 games. Do you think that this culture change was all about Mike saving himself and saving the team?
It's a lot of it is about Mike saving himself to me. A lot of it is Mike making a change. If they get off to a slow start, the players could turn on Mike and not directly turn on Mike, but just kind of look at the way things are going and say, we went through this stuff last year and finished 8-9 and, you know, I don't see anything changing. I could see the players getting down. I don't know that the season is a referendum on Mike McDaniel directly, but I think that Mike McDaniel and this culture change and how he handles things is going to be a big, big factor in the outcome of the season. They've got talent on this team. They just have to find a way to get the most out of that talent. I think this team has left way too much meat on the bone the last 3 years. They're in performance, and I'm talking about playoffs and December and January football, road games. It hasn't matched the raw talent that they have on that roster. Mike McDaniel has got to find a way to wring the most out of this roster, get every ounce of talent that he can out of this roster. To me, that's one of the big things that puzzles me about this team is how do you leave so much meat on the bone?
Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel here with us. Perk, I got one more for you. Omar was comparing Darren Waller to Jonnu Smith yesterday because I know, that's the kind of stuff he likes to do. What is more likely, Perk? He plays and gets 500 yards, or he never makes it to week one?
I would say he plays and gets 500 yards. To me, the big thing here is that he's going to be 33 years old in September, maybe. Is that right? October, whatever it is. And he did sit out last year. And look, and I know that a lot of people will say, Jonnu wasn't a big loss. Mike McDaniel made Jonnu. Okay, but you could say that, but it remains by far the best season they've had out of a tight end, right? They didn't get that out of Gesicki. They didn't get that out of Durham Smythe. So you've got to give Jonnu some kind of credit. But I think that Jonnu did a whole lot for this offense. Can Waller do the same? It's very wait and see, considering his age and considering that he did sit out last season. So
Who's had a better career? Head to head, who's had a better career? Barring his suspensions.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Waller. They're comparable.
Yeah, but it's 5 years ago, though. Perk, we're talking about five years ago.
Correct. His Pro Bowl season was what, in 2020? Or in 2020 with Vegas, I believe it was.
Still got a $50 million contract.
That's a lifetime ago, man.
Still got a $50 million contract a couple years ago, whereas Jonnu Smith is not getting a $50 million. He did get a $50 million contract. My bad. Let me correct myself. Jonnu did get a $50 million contract from the New England Patriots.
Yeah, relying on 33-year-olds, we've seen that in the past with OBJ and Teron and Shaq Barrett.
Don't ignore Calais Campbell just because he was 38.
No, Calais Ball, but Jordan Poyer didn't. When you get to that age, once you get over 30, it's a very tough thing, and that's one reason I want to see how they handle Zach Sealer to kind of change gears here. We could have a camp hold-in with Zach. Zach turns 30.
I hope we have a camp hold-in.
Here's what I'll ask you, about Zach Sealer. I can pay the 30-year-old Zach Sealer $16 million a year, no problem. Mm-hmm. What do you want to pay the 31 and 32-year-old Zach Sealer, though, when you're trying to win with youth and draftees? To me, the back end of the contract might be the bigger problem here.
If I'm Zach, I don't care about the back end of the contract. You get me at $28 million in guaranteed money. I don't care what I sign. I don't care what I sign. If Zach walks away with nearly $30 million from the Miami Dolphins, he's ultimately won. And to me, and everybody knows I'm a player advocate, if you don't sign Zach Sealer, I'm going to stone you to death as an organization. Because you want to talk about the culture. You want to talk about treating your players right. Now I know you've re-signed him twice. So you have given – you've taken care of him twice, but let's not pretend like he hasn't taken below-market deal the last deal. Let's not pretend like he didn't. Yeah.
And you know Devon Achane is looking at this, wondering about his future.
Absolutely.
He's next in line.
But this is the business of the NFL. This is not going away, and then it's going to be Minka too. But if you give Minka $30 million in guaranteed money before you give Zach Sealer money, you'll just continue to be doing the exact same thing that your players are complaining about.
Yeah,
pay somebody else instead of taking care of your own.
Yeah. Jalen Phillips playing on his fifth-year option. I'm sure he's watching this also, although
he's got to perform. He's got to perform.
Yeah,
he's got to stay
right.
Healthy.
He's in a different category. But, just as far as retaining your own players and paying, your guys, even though they didn't draft Zach Sealer, but they developed him. This is kind of a big test for the Dolphins. And look, I think right now Zach Sealer is your – best and well, he's your most important defensive player. I don't know if you could say he's better than Minka, but he's your most important defensive yes. player from the standpoint of that defensive line really, really needs Zach Sealer to play well.
Zach is your culture player. Zach is yes. the player you want to talk about. Play, you want to talk about culture and changing the culture. Zach is the first guy in, last guy out. That's who you want to embody your culture about. So you got to take care of that player. Otherwise, you're just talking on deaf ears.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree. You've got to take care of Zach Sealer. And I know that, you know, you'll be paying somebody who's in his 30s, but you have to do that in the NFL. There's a few players in their 30s you have to pay, but you just can't, you know, you can't do kind of some of the things they did in the past, relying on 7 or 8, you know, 30 somethings as key players. But guys like Tyreek and Zach Sealer, who are in their 30s, yeah, you've got to pay them because they're that important to your team.
Well, Perk, we're going to find out how it all looks pretty soon here when we open up camp. Look forward to seeing you out there in person. And thank you for the time. Thanks for hanging with us here this morning.
All right. Happy Friday to y'all.
Yes, sir. Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel. You can find his work there. Kind enough to join us here this morning. We are going to take a pause. Mike Florio, who has turned the Dolphins into a punching bag over the last few weeks, he is going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour back on QAM after this. Let's head back out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com, where we are joined by Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio here on this Football Friday. Mike, thank you for the time as always. Appreciate it.
Gentlemen, how are you today?
We are good, Mike. And boy, the Miami Dolphins, not so much. So they have turned into the national media punching bag over the last few weeks.
All because of Asante Samuels.
Mike, it's gotten ugly down here, man.
Well, you know, I think I said to Joe at some point over the past couple of weeks, maybe more than once, when you look at all the things they've been dealing with this late in the offseason, who has to contend with issues like that? What other team is trading key players in late June? These are all things, as I've said repeatedly, that should have been resolved early in the offseason. You get real replacements for Jonnu Smith, not a trade for a guy who hasn't played in a year. You draft a tight end, you sign a tight end, you trade for a tight end early in free agency. You get Jalen Ramsey traded so you can plot your path forward. You get guys in the building for the offseason program. You don't have guys not in the building for the offseason program and have that dark cloud over the team. It's just not a normal way of doing business, as evidenced by the fact that no other team had this kind of stuff hanging over them in late June.
Cincinnati.
It was just the Dolphins.
Cincinnati does. I mean, you know, this is the time for business, and players are usually trying to shake down teams for new contracts. So
trying to keep their guys, Omar. Miami knew these guys weren't going to be there. If you know those guys are going to be there, get them the hell out of the building in March, not in late June.
Yeah, but I don't think that Minka Fitzpatrick was available in March. I think they were patient, and they got somebody who by far I did not expect to be the return for Jalen Ramsey. I really think Jonnu Smith is a fifth round pick, so I think it's a Jalen Ramsey for Minka Fitzpatrick. You trade my problem for your problem, and we're all good. So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. But Asante's claims, and I will say this. There isn't anything that he said in his statement that is not true, has some validity, has some credence to it. But explain to me, how does it take off nationally, Mike?
Well, because it's a guy who plays at a high level in the NFL. His son was a high round draft pick. Wasn't he a first rounder? He's looking for a job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And
Miami's interested. Yeah.
And off it goes. And when something like that lands in July, hey, it's a lot more likely it's going to get noticed because there's not a whole lot else going on. And, you know, the reality is there's always something going on in the NFL. It's just between the middle of June to the latter part of July, we notice things that we otherwise wouldn't notice when there's actual football going on. There's always something. And that was a perfect time for Samuel to say what he said. And you know, there is just a weird vibe nationally as it relates to the Dolphins. Where are they? The window was opening a couple of years ago. It feels like the window has closed and they don't realize it, and they're going to fly right into it this year. That's the vibe that I've just kind of attached to them based upon monitoring the Dolphins along with the other 31 teams, that they're not a true contender. They still seem to believe they are, and they may find out in a very harsh and stark way this season how far they have to go to compete with the best teams in the AFC. I mean, how we spend so much time talking about the Steelers with Aaron Rodgers, at the end of the day, are they going to be able to compete with the best teams in the AFC? I don't think so.
Depends on where Aaron Rodgers is. If you're talking about the Aaron Rodgers who played the Miami Dolphins, I'd say yes. If you're talking about the Aaron Rodgers who played everybody else, I'd say no.
Even that Aaron Rodgers, when you look at the Chiefs and the Ravens and the Bills and the Bengals and the Texans are right there on the cusp. They've made it to the Final Four in the conference two straight years. There are some powerhouse teams in the AFC. And I know that when everyone's 0-0, and the NFL loves this, we can talk ourselves into, well, you know, you win this game, you win that game, you go, hey, this happens and that, we get lucky. Hey, we may be able to do something. They love that. They want every fan of every team to think that. And we learn year after year, even though we get burned, we learn when you reset to 0-0 how to come up with ways to make ourselves think this could be the year.
Yep.
Because it does happen. Lightning does strike. And I'm not saying it's impossible, but, you know, there's a handful of contenders in each conference. And in the AFC, I don't think anybody would objectively say the Dolphins are a contender. They're going to have to play their way into that role.
Absolutely. Mike, I wanted to get into this NFLPA controversy, which I see you're stirring it up. And I love that you do, because you're probably one of the few watchdogs for the NFL and the NFLPA, as am I. I wasn't a big, huge fan of D'Amore Smith, and neither was he a fan of me. But this Lloyd Howell situation, and for those who don't understand, please explain what's going on, and does this possibly connect to the cover up of collusion? Because how does the NFL catch the end? How does the NFLPA catch the NFL red handed in collusion and basically try to cover it up? Explain that to me.
Well, and I need to work backward, because I think what came out yesterday was the most significant revelation as it relates to Lloyd Howell, who was hired 2 years ago, guys, under a cloud of extreme secrecy, no transparency. We didn't even know who the other candidates were. It's just, boom, all of a sudden, here's a new executive director. Oh, and he has no union experience whatsoever. Oh, and he comes from a corporate background. And I remember joking, is this guy a Manchurian candidate? And now we find out that the guy who is responsible for representing zealously and aggressively against a band of oligarchs on a daily basis, the interests of the men who put their lives on the line literally every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, and whenever else they play a game, the guy who should be solely focused on helping them get the best possible terms and conditions of employment, this guy's got a side hustle with a private equity fund that has been approved to purchase minority stakes in NFL teams. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And now, and I just posted something that, you know, I'll probably get a nasty email from people with the New York Times / Athletic. But, you know, the unnamed union sources are defending this. How can, you know, how have we gotten to this point where things that used to be, and it almost sounds quaint to say we used to care about conflicts of interest, but we did. Now we don't. And I don't get it. Because if I'm an NFL player, if I'm in any position of influence with the union, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. First of all, why do you need a second job? What? Should we have a bake sale for you too? Is $3.6 million a year not enough that you're making from the NFLPA? And you're working for a company that's got ties to the NFL? Here's how that works, because I deal with this from time to time. You know, there are lines that if you cross them as it relates to the NFL, they're going to make their displeasure known. And now that he's got this double life where he's working for this group with ties to the NFL, if he goes too far in his representation of the players and pisses off the NFL, they back channel to the Carlyle Group, this private equity fund, and now he's got a problem. So he's on a tightrope. He shouldn't be on the tightrope. He shouldn't even have this job representing the players.
He shouldn't have this job. And here's my thing with the NFLPA. When did we get to the point lawyers should be advising a player who leads this union group? Not a lawyer is the leader of this union group. It doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, when Gene Upshaw
passed in 2008 after a short fight with pancreatic cancer, and he had been in charge of that union forever. He had the same kind of job security that Roger Goodell enjoys as commissioner of the league. He did a good job, and he was able to maintain his hands on the wheel for a very long time. And, you know, it was working. And it's hard to find somebody who's got all the requisite skills, because here's what you're ultimately doing. You are facing down 32 of the richest and most powerful people in the world, and they are ruthless. And here's the other problem, guys. When you're the head of the NFLPA, you have one hand tied behind your back, because if it ever comes down to the nuclear option of a work stoppage, you got one side that will shrug at the prospect of a year without football. They don't need the money. They're going to own the team their whole life. Well, we can do without a year if it gets us what we want. For the players, they don't want to miss a game. They don't want to miss a check. Look at all the turmoil financially that was caused for guys because there was a lockout in the offseason. They didn't even miss any game checks. But because there weren't signings and signing bonuses and cash flow that way, you had guys who did all sorts of bad loans and had financial issues. Like, it's when you're dealing with that kind of imbalance where management will lock out the players for a year and the players won't miss a single game check, good luck getting the best possible deal you can for the players. And I talked to an agent yesterday who said history is going to remember DeMora Smith well, because we're starting to understand what the head of that union has to deal with. And it's a bunch of apathy. And the problem is the league had been weaponizing the players' apathy against them for years. Now it looks like union leadership is weaponizing the apathy of the players against them.
Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk here with us. Mike, I'll leave you on this one. We were talking earlier, and we brought your name up because I know you have thoughts on the NFL draft and, you know, guys perhaps being able to, you know, choose or dictate where they end up. And I'm just curious if you had a chance to see what happened with the NBA draft and Ace Bailey. He had a couple of teams that he was like, I won't go there. I won't play for you guys. And then Danny Ainge said, you know, you're going to come play here. Like, I don't care what you think. I'm just curious if you saw that, if you had any thoughts on that, because I know you.
I wrote about it. The title of the article was "The NFL Needs an Ace Bailey." I've been saying for years. Yeah, we're not all of us, because it didn't take with me, and I think others share my view, but not many. This idea that being drafted by an NFL team is some sort of an honor and a privilege. The honor and the privilege is the team having the ability to tell a top talent, "You are coming to work for us, even if you don't want to." That's the honor and the privilege. It's been twisted around, and they've got, you know, it's like this weird Harry Potter sorting hat ritual, and all the fans are like, "You must submit to the sorting hat." Well, okay, tell that to anyone who's been drafted in the upper rounds to go play quarterback for the Jets. Ask them how that's gone for them over the past decade. So I love it when a player exercises anything that reflects pushing back against the system. I love it. And right now we've got this Shamar Stewart thing in Cincinnati that's still percolating. And the end result, I don't think it's going to happen. And I feel bad for him if it does, but he could sit out the whole year and re enter the draft. And as we get more and more guys who come to the NFL with money in the bank that they never had before, thanks to the NIL explosion, I'm hoping we get to one of these points where there's a high-end quarterback, and it may be Arch Manning who does it. I don't know, because his uncle Eli did it 21 years ago. It may be one of these guys may say, "Hey, if you draft me, I'll sit out all year and I'll live off my draft NIL money, and I'll see you next year."
Well, that would be crazy. Mike, thank you for the time. As always, appreciate it. Joe will be back next week. We appreciate you coming on with us here.
Thanks, guys. Great talking to you.
All right. Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio here with us on this football.
What about now?
You hear us, David?
Yes, sir.
There we go. All right. How are you, man? You got your summit there? How's it? What do we got going on today at the Hard Rock?
You know what we're doing? We're getting all the champs together. We're going to let them talk to the media a little bit. We're making some major announcements today. I think some groundbreaking stuff for combat sports in general, and some really cool stuff for BKFC. So we're going to drop them announcements today. Very excited about it. I think very well attended. A lot of people are excited about it. And I think after we drop some of these announcements and then a couple more on Saturday at Fight Night, I think it's really going to change the game for BKFC.
So my guy, Mike Perry, he's going to be in attendance. Is he making his triumphant return to BKFC? This has been a long time in the waiting.
Yeah, we're going to announce the date, possibly the opponent. I'm just waiting on the contract right now. So it's kind of like It's in the middle whether we'll announce the opponent or not right now, but we're going to announce his return, absolutely. We're going to announce a couple tournaments we're doing. We're going to announce just some really cool stuff that we have going on that I think is awesome for the athletes.
But are you worried at all? Because I know that him and Conor McGregor, because Conor McGregor is going to be there, or you guys are announcing that he's going to be there. I never know with Conor and his schedule or whatnot if that's going to happen, but there's been a little bit of frostiness, riftiness between the two of them, and now that they're both going to be on, you know, the same stage, I know you're no stranger to your boys scrapping when it comes to promotion, but are you expecting fireworks there today?
I mean, I don't think so, but hey, man, you never know. I mean, you got two guys that are really, you know, hyped up and really believe in themselves a lot, and you never know what's going to come out of their mouth. And look, I swear, it's funny you said that because I wasn't prepared for that question, but I kept thinking it like, yo, is Conor going to say, like, yo, get out of here, you're fired, get out of here, you're cut, right? Like, I don't
it
know.
It was the first what thing I thought say? Of.
You just don't know.
It was the
you
first.
You just don't know.
When man. You guys launched the advertisement, I was like, oh, Mike's going to be there. Wait, Conor's going to be there. I don't know how that's going to go.
Yeah, man. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But man, look, one thing for sure, it's going to be a fun night.
Well, so but it's open to the public, so people here in South Florida can go there to the Hard Rock for it.
Yeah, it's at the ballroom at the Hard Rock. You know, it's first come, first serve. I say that because, you know, I think it fits about 1,000 people. But I mean, there's going to be so many people here tonight. Very, very pumped up for it. And like I said, have some really cool announcements that we're going to make. We're going to, I think, like, move the needle on combat sports in general, not just for what we're doing with BKFC, but I think it's things that other companies can follow through with and help the fighters out and do some things that we're going to do tonight. And I think it's going to go a long way.
Do you?
And we're not sure if we're going to announce it. We have an unbelievable announcement. And again, that's either going to come today or Saturday. I'm not sure yet, depending on my phone call I get.
Are you starting to get like different age group guys starting to get into BKFC? Because like it's mostly the veteran guys who have, there's just professional fighters. They just fight wherever they can fight. Are there people that are starting to get into just these types of the fight game and or maybe thinking about doing this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so many announcements. We're going to announce 12 new signings tonight.
Okay.
Some former boxing world champions, some big-time UFC guys. You know, we got some major announcements there as well. But I think what I said is I think this sport actually has the chance to really go outside of fight fans in general. It's not just fight fans because it is bare knuckle, and we all did it, right? We all saw it. We all do it. Like when you play football, when you play basketball, there's a fight in the crowd. You look at the fight in the crowd. It's primal. It's what people want to see. And therefore, this sport itself, I think, can go outside a little wider than just combat sports in general.
Is this thing legitimate? Like, are you guys really making a promotion that's going to be bare knuckle on hockey on ice? Like, I saw
I saw videos
of this. I'm like, is this a thing that you guys are going to do?
So it's a guy that was helping me out with some stuff in Canada, and he asked me to get involved with him. And I said, yeah, you know what? We'll put our name on it. And the first event in Michigan was amazing. It was a really, really cool event. Definitely needs some tweaks. I really, truly think it has legs because I thought the fans were going crazy over it. There were some great fights. We just had to change some rules to make it a little more exciting. The same thing we did with BKFC, make it, you know, nonstop engagement, nonstop excitement. And we're going to do that. And I think it definitely has some legs. And that's actually, we're actually acquired another promotion, and we're going to announce that tonight as well.
See, because this is one of the things, Leroy, because we watched the Panthers this year. And I don't know how much hockey you were into, David, but the Panthers got some badasses on this team this year with Jonah Gadjevich and AJ Greer. I mean, they won literally like every bare knuckle fight there was on ice. I feel like there needs to be like some Panthers highlight reel for the South Florida card.
Yeah, man, it could be amazing, man. I think what happened is the Philadelphia Flyers just hired two of my BKFC fighters to coach their guys how to fight. So they're actually getting into fighting now. Like, it's no joke. It's not just that, you know, they're going to go to the gym and learn how to fight. They actually have fight coaches now for the Flyers. It's crazy.
No, it is. It's one of those things where it's like the thing that's honorable about it is they have to drop the gloves. Like they're not doing it. Like it's always been the thing in hockey. Right. But like the Panthers have this guy that's there because, you know, the thing in BKFC that's always gnarly is Leroy is the cuts, right? And the way that these guys are just, you know, they can be so pinpoint and precise with these punches. But there was this one guy that the Panthers had, David, that's like, his name's Jonah Gadjevich, and he was like, after the fight, he's like taking scissors and he's like cutting and trimming back up the flesh because he did such a good job of enforcing for his stars, because that's what they're always out there doing. So it's like it's spreading all over the place. What do you got on the card this weekend? What are the fights people should be looking forward to?
We got a heavyweight eliminator for the championship. We got Arnold Adams, who is our actual first BKFC world champion. He's fighting a monster. We call him the bare knuckle Mike Tyson, Leonardo Perdomo. He's from Miami, you know, via Cuba. But I mean, this guy is a beast. Right now, he's 7-0, 7 first round knockouts with BKFC. Nobody's ever made it past 1 minute with him yet. Oh, wow. So, I mean, this guy is a beast, and he's going to be tested. We have the 125 pound champion, Chip. G. Perez is going to take on Andrew Strode out of Denver. G. Perez is a Florida native as well, out of Cuba as well also. And then we just have, you know, Brian Duran. We have Steve Townsend. We have all these guys on the undercard, Julio Perez, that are all Miami-based guys. And we will have, when it's all said and done on Saturday night, we will have the highest grossing ticket sales for any combat sporting event at Hard Rock history on Saturday night. We'll have the largest attendance and the highest grossing ticket sales. So we're very, very excited about that as well. It will be our 9th consecutive sellout here at the Hard Rock.
Yeah, it's always a consistent home for you guys. It's great that you guys have found a footing in a place that obviously loves a good scrap. We appreciate the time, David Feldman. Go check out BKFC. If you guys are looking for something fun tonight, listen, you got Conor McGregor, the who's who of fighting there with Mike Perry. That sounds like it's going to be fireworks, announcements galore. Get on out to the Hard Rock Ballroom and then get out to the Hard Rock this Saturday for the main card. David Feldman, appreciate the time, man. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Awesome. Thank you.
All right.
All right, there you go. I'm telling you, dude, this hockey fight promotion, I think, could be a thing.
First of all, like, here's where it differs from regular BKFC. Because you need the other fighter for leverage.
Yes.
Right? Because you can't just punch on ice. So I'm wondering, here's a couple of things. What kind of shoes are going to be allowed? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because what if they put little spikes on the bottom so you can get grip?
Right.
How are you going to be able to hold or grab a guy? Because without any leverage, it's not going to be a fight.
It's called BKFC Ice Wars. No sticks, no pucks, no goals, just fights. Like, how do they not have the Panthers in as, like, honorary captains for this?
Yeah. All right, if you had to put together your starting line.
I mean, I would go Jonah Gadjevich. AJ Greer.
Kachuk always, you know who Kachuk reminds me of? Conor McGregor. Right?
Yeah.
It's just like.
Just a nuisance.
A nuisance.
Yeah. Sam Bennett.
Yeah, there you go.
Wait, and we even forget about Marshawn. He doesn't mess around, but I don't know if he fights.
He's got a good head. We saw him in a fight. He had great head movement.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Look, I got Sam Bennett.
Yep.
Sam Bennett's going to be first on my list, I think.
Sam Bennett for sure. I mean,
he's got that knockout power.
Yeah.
Jonah.
I say Jonah for sure.
If we could bring in an old Panther, Radko Gudas.
I was going to say Radko Gudas. Radko.
Nothing says BKFC like Radko Gudas.
What about Lomberg?
Right?
Lomberg's good, but too handsome.
Lomberg is like, he's like an instigator. I don't like, he's going to be in there and he's going to be, you know, bothering people. But I think in just a straight up fight, you know who we're forgetting?
Who?
Honestly, captain of my team?
Whoa.
The polar bear.
Nico Mikkola. Right, yeah.
Nico Mikkola laughs at people.
But who else is in his weight class?
So Lomberg.
That's tough.
Who else is in his weight class?
Lomberg is
he would have to, but he would have to fight the guy who's 7-0 and nobody's ever made it past the first minute.
If they're crossing sports, yeah. If they're crossing sports.
Yeah, like, yikes.
Ethan says the best fight card would be Tobin versus Treadmill. Such a bastard, Schmeathen. Always know how to bring me down. Just, the two of you. You two are like the Dudley Boys of fat shaming.
No, I'm not. What are you talking about?
Please.
Well, I mean, listen, when we went to the YMCA and you worked out on the treadmill and rode the bike in your suit and everybody was walking by.
Oh, my God. They did not find it funny.
All the soccer moms were walking by giving him the look. I'm like, oh, my goodness.
They should have the Panthers there with the Stanley Cup. It should be Gadjevic and A.J. Greer with the cup at the ringside.
That's glorious.
That would be cool. Anyway, check that on out. We'll take a break, play a little Goosies. No Goosies next.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EAR-POD-1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.